This is Logan Sekulow. High-stakes meetings with North Korean officials happening in New York.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I just want to tell you we're doing very well with North Korea. Our Secretary of State has had very good meetings. He's meeting again today. I believe they'll be coming down to Washington on Friday, and a letter is going to be delivered to me from Kim Jong-un. So I look forward to seeing what's in the letter, but it's very important to them. So they'll be probably coming down to Washington, D.C. on Friday for the delivery of a letter. I look forward to that.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
There are other meetings taking place overseas in Singapore, where the summit is slated to take place. A U.S. delegation has been meeting there with a North Korean delegation. They are discussing such things as logistics and specifically security matters. Also this week, in the demilitarized zone, a U.S. Delegation has been meeting North Koreans there to discuss a summit agenda, as well as a possible declaration if, in fact, the summit is successful.
And now, your host.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow. Sorry, I don't have a nameplate there. I only do enough shows to where they can say your host. I don't, you know, it would be so hard to record in two words there, but it's okay. I'm here. I'm happy to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Dr. Harry Hutchinson's joining me in studio, as well as Than Bennett in our Washington, D.C. office. We obviously are talking about what's going on in New York currently with these high-stakes talks with North Korea. A pretty interesting time. I feel like when we talk about North Korea, they're like, Logan will host this show, because it seems like every time that's what I'm talking about. Again, it's a wild time. I feel like this is something that we see these, you know, things go back and forth. And even when the president last week or a week or so ago pulled out of the summit, there was already immediate rumblings that this was a negotiation and this was not necessarily over. And we're seeing talks with North Korea continue. This time, though, we got a home turf advantage. We're here in New York. Again, it's something pretty wild to think about that, you know, we have these people of North Korea, these high-level officials, the right-hand man of Kim Jong-un coming into town to meet in New York. You know, the not only the nation's, they say not only the nation's, you know, big epicenter, but the world's epicenter in New York. It's a wild time. You see pictures if you're watching on Facebook with Pompeo meeting with these different officials, having a meal with them, something that we never thought would have happened maybe a year ago, maybe 6 months ago. Things were very hostile and still are. Obviously, the tension, Harry, has gone up a little bit, maybe even since the last time I was in this chair talking about this. Last time we were saying was when the hostages were freed. There seemed to be a very positive spin. Then all of a sudden we were pulling out because there was some pretty nasty rhetoric coming from both sides. Maybe we're finally seeing some steps in the right direction, but still happening really quickly.
Absolutely. So we are in a roller coaster period in human history, and particularly in terms of the negotiations or potential negotiations between the United States and North Korea. The resumption of talks after President Trump's letter withdrawing from the talks raises a number of important questions, which we will consider going forward in today's program.
Yep, absolutely. And we do have just a minute left in this segment. I want to give you guys an opportunity to voice your opinion. I know a lot of you out there listening and watching right now on our broadcast on Facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope and Twitter at JaySekulow and ACLJ.org have a lot to say. I'm seeing comments come in, some for, some against, some always a little cautious going into meetings with North Korea. But I want to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, that's 1-800-684-3110. Our phone lines just opened. If you have a question or comment related to this, we'll go to D.C. We'll go here. We'll tell you what all the experts think. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Again, that's at 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Israel, the current situation there. We'll do that later in the show, but right now we're sticking with what's happening in North Korea. So, in our own home country with North Korea. Be right back.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Jay Sekulow live. This is Logan Sekulow sitting in for my dad, and he's out, and I'm in the chair, and I'm here to talk to you about what's going on with the U.S. and North Korea and these negotiations happening in New York. The president said things are going very well with North Korea. Secretary Pompeo is having good meetings, so we'll see what that means. We'll see what that turns into. We know they had a meal. They shared some steaks. I hear it was good. Some corn, some cheese. Weird thing to put on a menu, but it's okay. Hey, at least these meetings are happening and the phone lines are coming in. And I got a comment in from Mina. She said, it's not as if the U.S. and North Korea have to like each other. Just respect the thought of working together for good, for the good of humanity. That's a pretty interesting comment there. It's kind of like an amicable, you know, family situation. It's like, you don't have to love each other. Just be able to work to hopefully bring, you know, potentially a stronger form of peace, I guess, in the world.
I think that's correct. I also think, though, from an American perspective, we need to bring a dose of skepticism to the talks because, after all, we have been there before with North Korea.
Right.
And North Korea has engaged in a pattern of game playing and they have been quite successful with that in the past. And so hopefully they have now learned a lesson after President Trump's withdrawal that President Trump is not interested in playing a game. He is interested in securing true denuclearization that is verifiable rather than promises of verification in the future.
That's right. A lot of those comments are coming in. Ted asked, and maybe Than, you can maybe address this a little bit. Ted on Facebook said, why did the North Korean representatives have to travel to New York? What is the significance there of them coming to the States?
Yeah, it's actually a good question, Logan, because Kim Jong-chul, he is actually the highest ranking North Korean official to be in the United States since 2000. He's also someone of a lot of clout in North Korea. He's, right. You know, actually attributed to him are some pretty pretty gross atrocities in the past. So some of the violent regime that has occurred is represented in him. I think the significance, Logan, is the fact that these talks are taking place around the globe. And you referenced this opening the broadcast. The highest level ones between Kim Jong-chul and Mike Pompeo are happening in New York. But there are also those lower level officials. Conversations that are taking place on the border between North Korea and South Korea, and then the conversations that are taking place in Singapore, where this summit would ultimately land. Logan, I think what people here in Washington, D.C., though, are looking forward to is tomorrow when this delegation travels down to Washington, D.C. with this so-called letter from Kim Jong-un. Allegedly, that is going to be the formal announcement that this summit is back on. We'll see if that takes place, but everybody here where I'm sitting, they're waiting for that delegation to arrive.
Yeah, that is pretty wild, the fact that we're bringing a letter with us. No one knows what's in the letter, we're expecting what's the letter. I mean, it doesn't feel necessarily, it feels like a movie. It doesn't necessarily feel real, but this is how things work and how things operate, especially when you're dealing with more hostile areas of the world when it comes to their relationship with the U.S. This is not a pick up the phone call or shoot an email over. This has to be a little bit more formal.
Absolutely. And the stakes are very high for the North Koreans because President Trump's policy of maximum pressure seems to be working. The president has insisted on the continuance of sanctions, joint military exercises with our allies in the region. But there's also a third party that is not necessarily at the table, and that consists of the South Korean contingent, and the South Koreans appear to be quite anxious to make a deal. And so we have to be wary of both the North Koreans and also of the South Korean objectives as well.
Right, because obviously South Korea wants this to happen because it's right there. You know, when you hear North and South Korea, obviously you think of it as being right next to each other. It is right next to each other. The major areas of these countries. It's not like, you know, you're spread over. You have North Korea and South Korea and the DMZ, and right over there is the major metropolitan areas of really both areas,
right,
of both nations. So, of course, it's in their best interest to make this happen. It's not unlike when you think of the peace in the Middle East, where there are people on both sides of it when it comes to maybe their ways towards peace. But all of them are hoping towards peace because you have a country who has a hostile neighbor. You know, it would be like if Canada or Mexico, for us, was lobbing rockets or threatening, you know, nuclear war. You know, this is not, I understand it from the South Korean point of view, they may want to make sure this happens or can happen as well as it can, because you'll see a lot of change in the economy. You'll see a lot of change in society there. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on it, but it's I can see their point of view. Terry just put on Facebook, definitely be cautious, and I think that's what they're doing. You know, and she said, but would you agree that dialogue of any kind is never a bad thing? Well, I mean, it depends on with who, but in this situation, it's at least there's a chance. I'd say that. You know, before I would say there's no chance, it seems like there is a step being taken to maybe move forward. You know, let's not jump to conclusions. I feel like that happened to a lot of us a month ago. 3 weeks ago, where it was like, well, this is going to happen. We're going to have, you know, open borders in North Korea and peace. And I was like, it's not going to be that easy. But I do think that we at least are heading towards the right direction for something like that. And as they head towards D.C., that should be even more wild. I mean, imagine the situation of even flying over, landing in New York, and you're used to being in North Korea, where, you know, it's not exactly an area known for its, you know, technology and things and going on. You're in the epicenter.
Or electricity.
And you're in the epicenter of the world in New York, where there are many people in the States that get nervous going to New York just because of how big and loud and bright and amazing it is. But you have these situations. We see the map right now if you're watching on Facebook or Periscope or ACLJ.org, where you can see South Korea and North Korea and just the difference from satellite points of view of where the, how there are, there's just a clean line where there is lights and it's amazing and the tech is booming there in South Korea to just nothingness, to vast, what looks like what would, if you saw farmland here, but it's not. It's a nation full of people and it's just crazy. It's crazy. But we do have some phone lines open. I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear actually from the president of the United States, President Donald Trump. He had kind of a comment. It was this was today. related to the talks with North Korea. And I think it's important to hear from our leaders and hear what they have to say. So this is President Donald Trump.
I just want to tell you we're doing very well with North Korea. Our Secretary of State has had very good meetings. He's meeting again today. I believe they'll be coming down to Washington on Friday. And a letter is going to be delivered to me from Kim Jong-un. So I look forward to seeing what's in the letter. But it's very important to them. So they'll be probably coming down to Washington, D.C. on Friday for the delivery of a letter. I look forward to that.
There you go. Let's go actually to the phones. Let's go to Jerry, who's calling in Rhode Island. You know, there was that sort of mess a few weeks ago or a week ago or so where we were pulling out of the summit because of some nasty language that kind of went back and forth between North Korea, really from North Korea, towards the United States. So let's take a call. Jerry, Rhode Island, you're on the air.
Hello, Professor Hutchinson and Logan. Have the players who are on the negative commentary, that female who made the threatening comments, have we seen any change in any of the positions in the factions in the Korean government, and are they part of the current negotiations?
I believe they are part of the current negotiating team. What we have seen is a change in the public posture of the North Koreans. So they haven't withdrawn their inflammatory statements, to my knowledge. But we should also note that we should expect inflammatory comments from the North Koreans, given their history. Yeah. Nonetheless, the onus or the burden is on us to insist on verifiable denuclearization, and we should not let up our maximum pressure campaign until we achieve that. In other words, we should seek something that is quite different from the Iranian nuclear deal, where the benefits were front-loaded and the inspections were particularly weak.
To give you a direct answer, too, yes, that person is still in the same position. That is it Shay Sun-hee? Shay Sun-hee, who is currently in the same position, but actually meeting with our ambassador to the Philippines right now in the DMZ. So not involved in the New York conversations, but involved in the current negotiations with the world. So it's again, that's hopefully something that you heard, Professor Hutchinson, how sort of the tone has changed, the verbiage has changed. Not currently in New York, but it's still part of the negotiations. And you're not going to be able to change some of that, especially when it comes to North Korea. You're not going to be able to say, you know, go, we're not talking to this person. That's not how this works. It's not necessarily the most, like I said, traditional form of government that you're talking to here. So you can't just go out and say, we're not talking to this person. This is not, it's not part of the gig. Now you can say, we're going to pull out unless you change your mode and change your tone. And they did, and things are now moving forward again. So you never know. Phone lines are open for you. 1-800-684-3110. You can join us online at facebook.com/jsekulow and Periscope at jsekulow and aclj.org. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow sitting in for my dad. We're talking North Korea. We're talking about these meetings happening in New York City right now. Right now in New York, Pompeo and friends are meeting with officials from North Korea, including this picture right now, including Kim Jong-un's right-hand man, and defining hopefully what will end up being a good result for the United States and also for the people of North Korea and the people of South Korea. You know, these are people that are living in an impoverished society in a very closed off world where, you know, let's say there's television, they have three channels and all of them are propaganda. This is not a people who you should be thinking, I believe, of, especially the people, the actual people, not the leadership. These are people that were essentially born into the most isolated existence when it comes to the modern world. When you hear these stories that come out of North Korea, again, until a month ago, we were told these stories of how things were so bad and that these fake stories were created. And, you know, there were ridiculous claims from the leadership there of what their version of world history is. You know, we're all fed a little bit of different version of world history. It's not like you go to the UK, you're going to hear a little bit of different story about America. You go to America, you can hear a little bit of different story about the Revolutionary War. You go over to France, you're going to hear a little bit different story about World War II. Everyone has their own versions of these stories that they teach to their people. But North Korea was often teaching, or still is teaching, what is just propaganda and sometimes straight up lies about what's happening outside of their walls, if you will. And to see now that being broken down, to see North Korean officials flying to New York City, the most diverse place maybe in the world, is a really amazing thing. So even if this is it, you know, the progress is being made. And I think that is very important for a lot of people. I know there's people on both sides of that argument. You know, they see the statements from the president. They may not like the way the rhetorics go back and forth, the way the talks are happening. To them, maybe it does feel a little schoolyardy in the approach. But remember what we're dealing with. I think that's also part of this. You can't write these beautiful, eloquent responses that are not easy to understand and easy to translate. And I think that's a big deal too. When you see the president, when he initially said, we're pulling out of the summit, now obviously, hopefully that's back on, pull out the summit, you had to use language that is going to be easily understood in a different language and that is taken seriously.
Unmistakably understood, I think is really the
And I feel like that never happened with the previous administration.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And one of the things to keep in mind is North Korea is a closed country. The people have extremely low expectations, but I believe they're told that they are the richest country on earth. And yet North Korean soldiers are so low on food that they're eating products containing parasites. And so a couple of North Korean soldiers defected to South Korea, and they had to treat them for parasites because food is a scarcity. It's a luxury in North Korea, but yet many North Koreans don't realize how bad off they are because they have no comparison with any other country.
Yeah, one of my friends spent some time, I said during the break in North Korea, there was a summit kind of that happened for entertainers that happened in the 90s, and they brought over his organization, and he went mainly because he said he wanted to see the experience. He wanted to see what it's like when you have the opportunity to go to North Korea. You may want to go because this may never happen to you again. And he said the impoverishment of the people that walked around, said it was like you were in a post-apocalyptic movie. His people just walked around, no expression, gaunt, looking sick, looking ill, including even their military forces. He said who were very nice to them and treated them well. But as soon as they started, he said you couldn't like go out for a run. You know, you go out for a run and all of a sudden you'd be stopped five, six, because someone was watching you at all times there. a very specific people. He said at the time, that, again, this was back in the mid-90s, that there was two or three television stations in their hotel, and they offered essentially a couple versions of propaganda. And at the time, the entertainment that was coming, because and that was just made for them. That was just made for them to see, so you know, it could look like that people would know. But again, that, like you said, it's the people there are suffering, regardless how they want to posture themselves. If you want to posture yourselves as a country that is, you know, wealthy and is powerful and is strong and has this military and has these weapons, some of that isn't inaccurate, but you're talking about people who haven't been taught any better, who haven't had their minds opened at all to what's happening outside of North Korea. So it's a sad thing as well. It's not just this situation where, yes, you have someone like Kim Jong-un who and his father who have done some egregious things to the world, certainly. But you do also have to think about the people that are in these nations that hopefully you can, you know, we could be a part of, you know, in a, use a better word, you know, opening their minds and freeing them a bit to the society of what's happening. Because it's important, I think, for that to happen. I think it's important for that, for the safety of these nations, but also for these people of these countries, again, born into a really, really rough situation. But a lot of people have called their people on kind of both sides of this, but I want to take some of those. Let's first go to John, who's calling in Washington. On line four, John, welcome. John, you there?
Hello, yes, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
I'm anxious to see what happens as a result of these talks. There's no harm in talking to people without any, I guess the term is, front-loaded expectations. And I believe that the North Koreans, even without saying so, have some expectations of what they can get from the talks.
Sure.
But I think they're good, and maybe something really productive and even historic can come out of them.
Yeah, I think you're right there, John. And I said that the last time. I may have come in with a bit unrealistic expectations myself. Things were moving so positively that it kind of was hard to see the negative coming. From a layman's point of view, from someone who's not really connected to what's happening beyond what's happening really in North Korea in these conversations, I'd be able to see what's happening. All the signs were pointing to positive. Then we had to step back. But now, it was very quickly after we pulled out of the summit, Than, that I feel like D.C. and everyone kind of rallied together a little bit to get things back on track.
Well, Logan, I think John's call illustrates why it was so important for President Trump to have the consistent message that he has, which has been he is not going to make any concessions in advance, and he will be willing to walk away should the need arise. And remember that letter from last week, he did walk away. He canceled the summit. Now it appears like they're trying to put it back on. But Logan, I think he's been realistic up front that you're not sure you're going to get anything, so you've got to keep those that pressure on. He's called it the maximum pressure strategy. You've got to keep the sanctions in place. And Logan, I'm glad that you had the conversation with Professor Hutchison about the life for North Koreans, because I think that most of the media coverage on this has been focused on two of the goals that the administration's put forward: no nuclear weapons for North Korea, and then better relations with North Korea. But if you look at President Trump's remarks and also the plan that Secretary Pompeo put forward, they very clearly have a third goal from these talks as well, and it's the conversation that you just had with Harry. It's a better life for the North Koreans. So I think that's a second piece that Kim Jong-un, he could become a leader of great significance in North Korea if he would embrace that third goal, a better life for his people.
Yeah, I think that's right. And that's what, you know, I think a lot of us hope for, those of us that maybe aren't as connected and politically astute to everything happening. I think there should be an overwhelming thought process that this could mean peace for a lot of people. It could mean essentially freedom for a lot of people who are growing up, sadly, in a country that is so closed off. They can't even, like I said, food is a luxury. Any sort of basic needs are luxuries, and they're somewhat unaware, or almost totally unaware, that that's not how it is outside of those borders. Now, phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110 as we head to break. Some of you will lose us on your local stations. You can find us broadcasting live on Facebook.com/JSeculo, Periscope, and Twitter at JSeculo, and also ACLJ.org. See you there.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live, and welcome if you're listening, just tuning in. This is Logan Sekulow. I'm sitting in for my dad today. We're talking about the situation going on in New York right now where meetings, we'll say that, high-stakes meetings, essentially the beginning parts of negotiations are beginning with North Korea. They're becoming a little bit more friendly, hopefully. That we had Secretary Pompeo meeting with, you know, like I said, Kim Jong-un's right-hand man. They had a nice meal together. You're seeing these photos have come up throughout the show where you see them meeting and talking in a high-rise offices in New York City. Again, something that is pretty remarkable for those who have followed this story along, the fact that, can you even imagine being these leaders from North Korea? It's even a lot of them, even the leadership. We talked a lot in the last segment about the people, how the people are impoverished. And they are suffering, but then you have some people in leadership that maybe aren't. They also, the people even in leadership, have somewhat had their own, I don't want to say being brainwashed, but in that way have been taught a certain way of life is normal. And then you fly into New York City, you know, the capital of the world, as they say. The most diverse place you'll probably ever visit in your life. And probably have your eyes opened a little bit to everything that's going on. It's an overwhelming experience for a lot of Americans to visit New York City, place I lived for quite a little while there, place my dad grew up, so a lot of affection and love for New York, and I can't imagine, I mean, I've taken family members just for their first time, you know, I grew up in Georgia, I take family members that grew up in even Atlanta, in a big city, one of the biggest cities, but then you go to New York and it's such a different experience. I can't imagine coming and having these big high-stakes meetings, it's knowing that you're security and your nation's future, and I'm saying from the point of view of the North Koreans, is at stake when you're having these conversations. It's a pretty wild thing to think about that's happening right now as we speak with a nation that is full of some disgraceful actions over my entire life, over decades and decades of time, and it's only gotten worse. But now, there's a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. All of a sudden, things are happening. We had to step back last week, but now we're moving forward again with these discussions. People are talking about what's happening. We're having meetings. We even have meetings right now happening in the DMZ in North Korea. Or if you know what the DMZ is, the demilitarized zone between North Korea and South Korea. It's kind of a very small area of no man's land that where North Korea and South Korea can't have these discussions. You can visit there as a tourist. Our producer, Will, has visited. He sent me pictures stepping over the line. There's one building that has a little bit of it that is in North Korea. You can step over the line, say you visited North Korea. So it's a, and you got to think about that. Even from that point of view, South Korea, I just saw tons of pictures from Will. I followed, you know, South Korea. Beautiful, tech savvy, crazy. And they have someone right over the border. And look, that happened somewhat in Israel. But in Israel, it's not like this. You could theoretically go to some of these nations. Some are closed off in Israel, and I visited many, and they are not fun necessarily to visit. But knowing you don't even have that opportunity, it's like Cuba times 100. You know, when it comes to that, it's a wild situation because you have someone who is threatening you continually, and threatening his people as well, and killing his people, killing family members. You know, we forget a couple of years ago was one of his family members visited Disneyland in Paris, I believe, and was essentially killed because of that, because that's when your eyes start being open to this. Now we're seeing some change of heart, and you can't not thank President Trump for this. At least we're having these discussions. You know, I'm not as savvy as the others on everything that's happened politically, but you can't help but say, okay, there's been a clear change that's happened in regards to our position around the world and how our point of view is now being a little bit more impactful. But with that, we're going to head into the break. I wanted to set that up so you know what we're talking about. Phone lines are open. We got a couple calls on hold. Call from New York, call from Alabama, call from Pennsylvania. We're going to take those. We also got a couple lines open. It's at 1-800-684-3110. Dr. Harry Hutchinson is joining me in the studio. And Than Bennett is in Washington, D.C. So if you have questions or comments for them, I'll be happy to field them, take them, and get some answers for you. If you've also been watching online, throw in your comments. I'm reading as many as I can. I'm getting some on the air and during the breaks. Coming up right here in the break, if you're watching on social media, you're going to hear about my dad's new book, Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. It's available right now to pre-order on Amazon.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow sitting in for my dad. Hey, you just saw an ad. If you're watching online, a little promotion for my dad's new book, Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. I got it right here in front of me. I have one of the copies that exists. It was a part of TBN's monthly gift, but right now it has moved to now being its formal release, which will be available in just a couple weeks on Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. You can pre-order right now. Just go type in Jay Sekulow or Jerusalem Jay Sekulow into Amazon, and you'll see an easy way to pre-order that book right now. I just wanted to make sure that that was clear as we move on, as our discussion continues with what's happening in North Korea. Judy on Facebook said, hopefully Kim Jong-un will realize being a leader is better than being a dictator. Interesting comments coming in. I don't know. That may be a lofty goal.
Absolutely. I think that's highly aspirational, and I'm not sure Chairman Kim shares
currently,
that
probably
objective,
not obtainable.
In part because there are many people in his country who would like to extract some revenge.
Yeah.
So just being a leader might not be enough for him.
But we have some relationships with dictatorships.
Absolutely.
It's not like this would be the only one where we have a not horrible relationship with them. So, right. You know, there are the royal family still around the world. There are things like that. Not the royal family in the UK, but in society, it's not like we're only dealing with democracies and republics across the country,
Absolutely.
Across the world.
It's a very complex world,
yeah.
And certainly we have to be nuanced about our relationships with many, many countries, and just consider the fairly recent history of the Cold War.
Right.
We supported some people that were not on anyone's list of humanity. Anyone's humanitarian of the year list.
But if we can move forward, and even if it's not, look, that's a very nice thought. And Judy, I don't discount that thought at all. There are, you know, it's kind of like with all these, I feel like there are baby steps. And that could be down the line. You never know. But maybe there's some steps that need to be made probably before we get to that conversation. And who knows if we will have that conversation. There are some comments coming in. People are trying to be optimistic. Bernie said, he's a little nervous that he doesn't think they could be trusted ever. He believes we need to see positive results before we can actually be optimistic. You kind of can't have one without the other. You kind of have to move forward these conversations before we can see if there's any results to our action.
Yes, I think we have to move forward with our eyes wide open.
Right.
But at each step in this process, we also have to insist on verifiable concessions or adjustments by the North Koreans.
Right.
And we also have to insist that China supports us in this effort. They have a stake in this game, in part because China is the leading trading partner of North Korea, and many Chinese individuals, entrepreneurs, have become quite wealthy in trading with North Korea.
Yeah.
And so as we tighten the sanctions around North Korea, by implication, this will tighten sanctions around some Chinese individuals as well.
Yeah, Linda actually wrote that, and you kind of answered it on Facebook. We took that during the break and said we're going to get to it. We finally did there, Linda, so sorry for the delay. She said, how would peace with North Korea? And I think peace is a strong word as well, even. But how would peace with North Korea impact the U.S.'s relationship with China and the rest of the world, for that matter? So you say there are, obviously, we're not everyone else. People do business with North Korea.
Absolutely.
So what does that look like? Not only for us as Americans to be like, all right, are we now working with them? Are the doors open for us to start doing these dealings? Or are we saying everyone who's dealing with them now, things have got to change?
Well, I think there's several issues that have to be placed on the table, and we have to perhaps look at them simultaneously. So first, yes, we are interested in denuclearization. That is clear. That's a clear goal and objective Yep. of U.S. policy. It's been a clear goal for the last 20 to 30 years, at least in principle. On a secondary level, however, we should also insist that the North Koreans stop interfering in other regions throughout the world. For instance, supplying weaponry and technology to Iran. And then Iran uses that technology to supply its allies, Hamas, Hezbollah, etc. So we should insist that the North Koreans make progress on both of those fronts. In exchange for that, of course, then hopefully they will, A, open up their economy, and the lives of their people will actually improve, and the level of tension in the region, Southeast Asia, will diminish.
All right. There you go. Hopefully that answers your question, Linda. Let's take some calls. We got a lot of calls that have been on hold for a while, and we're still taking yours at 1-800-684-3110. Let's start with John in Pennsylvania. John, you're on the air.
Hey, Logan, hey. Dan, and Harry. You guys just hit on this a little bit, the idea that we would all like to see President Trump achieve denuclearization of the peninsula, and I think many of us would like to see him walk away from the summit rather than make a bad deal. And keeping in mind that this summit or possible summit would only be a starting point and not the conclusion, my question is, looking at the results of a possible summit, what would our measurement of a successful versus shortcomings in a summit look like?
That's a great question. I think success means strict, invasive, verifiable, and irreversible inspections leading to the complete destruction of all nuclear weapons held by the North Koreans. And the second step in this process would be a reduction in North Korean belligerence in the world, including efforts aimed at stopping all trades with Iran. Iran is a major player, the leading state sponsor of terror, and they have received supplies and technology from the North Koreans. It's important to remember that Iran is, perhaps as we speak, working on nuclear weapon technology, nuclear weapons itself, in spite of the JCPOA. So it's very, very important that we keep our eyes wide open. Yes, we need to be prepared to walk away from the deal if necessary. But I think some type of deal consistent with what I've outlined will make long-term sense for the United States.
That's right. Let's go take some more calls as we head into this next segment. I want to get through. Some of these people have been on hold for a long time. Pat in New York. Pat, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Logan. Professor Hutchison touched a little bit on it. I'm just wondering, all three, as you, Dan, and Professor Hutchison, China's behind the curtain here. How much of a player do you think they actually might be in everything that's going on that we don't know about?
Yeah, Than, why don't I go to you for a little bit? What are you hearing from the U.S. relationship currently with China in terms of this North Korea negotiation?
Yeah, China is a hugely significant player in this, second only, I think, Logan, to the United States. And actually, I think this dovetails perfectly with the answer that Harry just gave you on where China is, because I actually think one of the most measurable things coming out of this summit is going to be what China says about it. Remember, the sanctions that we put on North Korea that affected those shipping channels, that really put the squeeze on China. And it was then that China said, okay, we're willing to put denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula on the table in order to preserve these talks. Logan, I would say, while you're not going to get an agreement out of this initial meeting to immediately denuclearize, you might get China saying, going a little bit further than they have before, that ultimately that is their goal as well. And if you could get that, if you could get after this conversation, China basically taking the U.S. position on the issue of denuclearization, that would be about the most positive development I can imagine out of this. And the last thing I'd say, Logan, I would tell you that this conversation, the planning of this summit, has already been worth it, no matter what happens, because right. While we haven't given anything away, we did get three prisoners home. That is hugely valuable.
Yeah, I think we can't undercut that. I mean, you talked about that three prisoners release. You know, we talk about Pastor Brunson here, a NATO ally, Turkey, still not released, but they were at least able to work that out. And hey, if three lives are important to you, like they should be, then, you know, the steps have been made and progress has been made. I said this before when I hosted the show about North Korea. I think anything, the fact that we're having these discussions is a humongous deal. It's something that we should all be thankful for. The fact that we've even able to get people from North Korea now to the States, now to New York, to sit down and meet with us and discuss these things. It's really something that is unprecedented.
Absolutely. So to go back to what Than suggested, I would suggest Than is absolutely correct. China is very, very important with respect to these negotiations. We should remember that the United States is currently engaged in negotiations with China on trade. And so a possible deal with the North Koreans may be helpful in terms of those negotiations as well.
All right. As we head into our last segment of the day, I want to hear from you. And the phone lines are open. We got a couple open, at least right now. Paul, you're on the on hold. We're going to go to you. Bob, you're on hold. We're going to go to you. Mike in Huntsville, we're going to go to you as well. But you can be part of that list as well. 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air today. Phone lines are open for our final segment of the day. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on JSEC Hill Live.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Whether it's the blatant and stated desire of ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran to wipe Israel from the face of the earth, or the more subtle but equally insidious aim to delegitimize Israel's existence through efforts at UNESCO, the goal is the same, to get rid of Israel. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. The official release date of the book is June 12th, but don't wait. Be among the first to be informed. You can pre-order your copy of Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Order now online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow setting up the final segment of the day for me and for my hosting duties for today. Maybe I'll be back next week. You never know. We're going to take some calls, though, because some people have been holding for a while, but I want to hear from you. It's at 1-800-684-3110. I have two lines open right now. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Mike calling from beautiful Huntsville, Alabama. You're on the air, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Logan?
I'm
Dr.
good.
Hutchinson.
Hey,
I just kind of really got a statement and kind of want some feedback on it. When we go into these negotiations, I mean, just like we've gone into Bosnia, let's see, Kosovo, Iraq, Afghanistan, we always try to push Western values, American values on these people that are against their culture, and it fails. And we have to stand back and take their culture into, you know, into the formula,
yeah.
Before we try to put all this stuff on there,
Mike. I don't think anyone's calling for the. I understand your point of view, but we're not calling for overthrowing, you know, currently North Korea. You know, we're not talking about going hopefully not going into war with North Korea. We're talking about hopefully having these negotiations. But these people, it's not like you're talking about any sort of other nation in the world.
Absolutely. But I think Mike makes a very good point because one of the commonest errors in politics is sticking with the carcass of dead policies. Lord Salisbury made that particular point. And so one of the issues with respect to any negotiation approach with the North Koreans is we should look at the past. In the past, the global elites push particular policies designed to vindicate international liberal order. With, for instance, China, we hoped that China would liberalize and then put pressure on the North Koreans to liberalize. Those were vain hopes. So instead of adopting that particular approach, at least in my judgment, President Trump has designed a new policy called maximum pressure. In other words, we don't make any concessions. Indeed, we ramp up existing sanctions in order to extract concessions from the other side. And I think if we are honest, at the end of the day, we are not seeking the overthrow of Chairman Kim. However, we are seeking concessions from Chairman Kim in terms of his threatening, belligerent behavior,
yes,
with respect to the entire world community. And so in order to deprive him of the power to make those threats going forward, we need to deprive him of access to nuclear weaponry.
And that's what we have to say. At least, Than, you can touch on this, that we've seen, you can say whatever you want about the president and this administration, but this is one area where things are actually changing.
Yeah, most certainly. And I think it directly applies to the point that Mike was making. I think if you look at Secretary Pompeo's plan, which he put out, Logan, in a very comprehensive way, there were sort of 12 points that he expected from North Korea from the president. But basically, they boiled down to three things, Logan. One was that North Korea had to denuclearize, and that's because of the threat, the belligerent threat that Kim Jong-un has posed in the past. The second was better economic relations with the rest of the world. And I really think that's what's in it for the North Korean leadership, better economic relations, a way forward. And then third, Logan, to Mike's point, it is more freedom for the North Korean people. It did not really go more specific than that. It was not pushing Western values on the government or on the people, but it was an expectation of the North Korean leadership that they would have to allow their people more freedom. You know, you showed the map, Logan. Barely no electricity. That is not acceptable in this day and age. But really, Secretary Pompeo's plan boiled down to those 3 points.
Yep, absolutely. Let's take a couple more calls as we head to the end of the show. You can give us a call again, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Paul, who's calling in Indianapolis, Indiana. You're on the air.
Hey, Logan, gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. I always enjoy the show and appreciate all the work you guys do.
Thank you, Paul.
Just listening to the commentators speak, Dr. Hutchinson in particular, just the concern I have is that we're negotiating with gentlemen who have immense power in their country, but are actually pretty self-interested. Their behavior has demonstrated that for a very, very long time. And I just wonder what's in it for them in the negotiating process, because most of the points that have been outlined are for the benefit of the Korean people, for the safety of the region, for our political benefit in the region. But really what's in it for them as individuals, because they've demonstrated in the past, they're going to negotiate for their own personal best interests.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know what's in it for them.
Well, they're a little scared.
Well, I think Paul raises an absolutely brilliant question. What is in it for the North Korean leaders? I would respond by suggesting that the North Korean leaders, they have families, they have children. And so if they are at all concerned about their families and their children in terms of the long term, I think they will begin to recognize, and I think this is perhaps a slow process, but they will begin to recognize that their children and their families may have no future in the long term unless change hits the North Korean peninsula.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and take another call. Let's go to Bob, who's calling in Wisconsin. If you do have a quick call or comment, you can get it in now. 1-800-684-3110. Bob, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
The last two callers, it's kind of piggybacking off of their comments and questions, but you know, with China's involvement, you know, economically for many years with North Korea, in addition to that, the cultural shift that's going to take place between South Korea and North Korea, you know, with maybe a possible influx of North Koreans, if that's even allowed to happen, you know, what are the long-term consequences that could come about? Because you're going to have actors that didn't want this to happen on both sides that could potentially sabotage it. And I think it goes down to that individual psyche. What, you know, how is that going to play out?
Well, Bob, I think that's a great comment, but I do think you have to somewhat go for the greater good here. And if you may have, yes, there may be people who have a fallout who disagree with one way or the other, just like we do here in the States. That doesn't mean we just say, oh, well, there's going to be some bad actors here and there, and we're just going to, you know, make sure that they have their voice over ours.
I think that's correct, but I also think it's important to recognize President Trump's contribution here.
Oh, definitely.
That he is prepared to put the United States first. And so the caller makes a valid point that we don't know how other people will ultimately respond. Yeah. But one thing I think is clear, President Trump will respond to defend American interest come what may.
Yep. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. I want to thank everybody for being a part of it, help carry me through these shows that I'm hosting. I'd like to bring in a different point of view, ask a lot of questions, find out some information. Hopefully you're like me. Sometimes this show, we need to slow it down a little bit, just discuss a little bit more in detail what's exactly happening. You may have woken up this morning and not even realized that the North Korean officials had come to New York to have these meetings. That's why we wanted to break this all down. I did say we were going to get into the Israel situation. Unfortunately, we just ran out of time for that. I think this was something we needed to break down, as it is the breaking news happening around the world today. Again, thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast. I've enjoyed my time. Hope you have as well. Stay in touch with the ACLJ at aclj.org. If you're not going there regularly, great news, updates, blogs from Dr. Harry Hutchinson and others. And you can find that again on aclj.org. And make sure you follow us on all social media outlets, all social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, however you get it, YouTube. We're there as well as the JSecure Live podcast, and we'll be back tomorrow on JSecure Live.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.